Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and greetings, dear souls. This is Don Jesse Goodman, a humble cyberspace Torah activist. And we've just reached another plateau, another blessed moment to share with you the wonderful world of the Torah. And this Torah that we want to share with you precisely is configured with the very mission statement of our show, which is called Soul Class, Class of Soul. Soul being the acronym for the, first let's call on our co-host, I think that's Mordechai Ben Moise from Oroville, California. Mordechai, is that you?
Yes, it is. Hi, Don. Baruch Hashem. Blessings and greetings to you.
Blessings and greetings to Mordechai Ben Moise.
Hey!
From Oroville, California. Literally the village of light. And Mordechai, I was just trying to share with everyone this blessed moment in time, space, and soul that Soul Class is configured to every human soul because every human soul is connected to a divine image that every person who is human and has a soul, and you can't have a human without a soul, has. And we just want to remind our blessed listeners tonight that soul is an acronym for S7O, oldest original, U, universal laws, with the L being laws, alluding to the seven axiomatic, peaceful, promoting, pleasant ways of the seven Noahide commandments, which are the following in a very terse, concise fashion. Number one, not to blaspheme the Creator with the name of the Creator, which is the Yud and the Hey and the Vav and the Hey. Number two, not to serve idols. Number three, not to commit acts of idolatry. Number three, not to commit premeditated acts of murder. Number four, not to commit adultery. Five, not to steal. Six, not to eat the limb of an animal that's still alive. And number seven, to raise up righteous statutes all across the universe, especially as it applies to planet Earth, to back up those six axiomatic statements, and also to be involved in the education of every human being to understand they have a divine image, to help them get off the scrimmage, and get into the real Super Bowl, the real World Cup, the real championship hockey game of the endeavor of trying to be a decent human being. And you don't have to be a superstar because you're something above that because you've got a divine image. What are your thoughts and comments on my opening statements, Mordechai?
My comment is that I'm anxiously waiting for the subject that you are ready to introduce tonight.
Okay. So let's go into that. And if you remember Mordechai last week, although you came with about 4 minutes to go, because I think you were busy last week at some important matters, personal matters, we started talking about the teachings of the Ben Ish Chai, because tonight's special program, the 82nd class of the Ben Ish Chai, which literally means the son of a living man, the teachings of the Chacham of Baghdad, Iraq, or as it was known over 100 years ago as Babylon, Rabbi Yosef Chaim. Now, Rabbi Yosef Chaim had advocated that we should consider there's four kingdoms that are ruling over our earth. One kingdom ruling above another kingdom, ruled by another kingdom, and ruled by the top kingdom. Basically, the kingdom of inanimate matter, the kingdom of vegetable matter, the kingdom of animal matter, which is inclusive of life, aquatic life. And, of course, there's human kingdom, which rules over all. And so when human beings sit down to a table to take in of the foodstuffs of creation, which the Most High has blessed us so bountifully, we should be mindful of the fact that there is a Creator. And the Ben Ish Chai Mordechai, last week we got into a couple of statements, taught us that it is very important to speak about the following teaching, which was actually cited and taught by Elijah the prophet. But, of course, you're not going to see this in the written Torah. You'll see it in the oral Torah known as the Zohar, which was written by, which was taught by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who was the Tana Eloki, the Godly Tana, who lived about 19 centuries ago. And before we get into that, I just want to mention, Mordechai, something. I'd like to get your
feelings on this as well. As anyone listening out there, you can call live to vibe and verbally scribe with us at 1-347-838-8669. That's 1-347-838-8669. We have about 24 minutes to go in tonight's show. So anyway, Mordechai, blessed listeners, all possessors of blessed souls, that the Ben Ishchai said that the nation of Israel, in order to have a proper inheritance in this physical world, and as he calls it, in the body of the earth, can only take possession and live properly upon this earth when they conduct themselves to the attribute of humility. And if Israel does not connect himself with the attribute of humility, we're not going to get a proper blessing of bounty and good in this world. And therefore, we understand from the verse of the prophets that the humble ones shall inherit the earth, that they will inherit an earth because because of the humility, they will have tremendous delight in the abundance of peace, which will be manifesting at the earth even before the times of Mashiach, even before the redemption, and how much more so at the times of the redemption. So humility is basically accepting who oneself is. It doesn't mean bending over backwards and acting like a very meek, weak person, but actually recognizing who one is in this creation and understand that we have been given the earth as an inheritance, and therefore we delight upon the abundance of peace, inner peace, that we feel within ourselves. And Ben Ishchai is a very strong statement, Mordechai, that the nation of Israel will not totally return to their land of Israel except in the merit of being humble. And as it relates to arrogance, there is a statement from our sages of Israel where it says that the Most High says, concerning the arrogant person, the Most High says, he and I cannot dwell in one place. So what's your take on all these teachings, Mordechai, by the Ben Ishchai, spiced up by my own insights that I've learned in the last 25 years of learning the inner dimensions of Torah?
25 years only? Wow, that's not too much compared to 100, which you will still learn.
I hope that's, so.
Yeah, me too. and I'm really hoping that I'm going to be able to learn from you. My take on this...
And me from you.
Well, I hope so. my take on this, actually, I prepared myself for tonight's class because I realized that you always come up with very amazing Torah-faced facts. And because I read the description of your of the radio show today, I've searched up on Elijah and his verse, which is about, I call heaven and earth to bear witness that all the children of man are gathered to death, and all creatures descend to sorrow only because of eating and drinking. And this rabbi who wrote this article was basically talking, his name is Yaakov Shmuel Levinson, and he talks about the same things as you do, about the divinity of the soul, and that when Adam and Eve had partaken from the fruit at Eden, we had mixed good with evil. Good was the creation of the Creator, and evil had mixed into it as soon as we had disobeyed a commandment because of an arrogant move from Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve made an arrogant move there, but it did not mean that the divine sparks had passed out of this creation. What it means is that these sparks are still floating around, and it's very important for our body to be nourished by these divine sparks. Our soul does not need these earthly nourishments, of course, but our body does. And to elevate our our soul into higher levels or higher consciousness towards the Creator, we need to partake of these sparks. And the way we can partake of these sparks is by blessing the food before we eat, because we are not only needing the nutrients out of these foods, but also an ancient spark, which is present since the beginning of time. And also, these fruits are only able to grow if we have rain. The rains are is a very important part of this I would say development of humanity, because when the Creator created Earth, He also created the waters, and then He had separated the waters from the waters above and the waters below. So we human beings did not really have a saying, or we could not really touch the waters. So the divine spark is within those waters forever, and those sparks are nourishing the sparks of the fruits and vegetables. So the first level, as you have mentioned, the first level divine manner. So it is like a fusion in between the two sparks. As human beings, we can add our own spark of our soul. It's an eternal soul. Our soul is always connected to the Creator. So we can add this, and we have a fusion of three. And as we are connected to Hashem, we are connected to the Creator. We elevate even into a higher kingdom. So our food can be a divine experience.
That's right. That's right. And you know, one of the things that we perhaps, unfortunately, because we have been
peacocks.
Noise. Oh, peacocks. Wow.
Yeah. 15 peacocks.
I lost my point there. One of the things that unfortunately being exposed to secular Western society is that we mistake a divine experience as something totally explainable within the realm of rational, cold human intellect, and then it gets reduced to a mundanity. But actually, it's a very spiritual occurrence. What am I talking about? I learned this probably about 18 years ago. I was sitting in a gathering, and what happened was, I heard one of my teachers, very wise man, of Dovid Lichten, Paul of Hashem, Zecher Tzarek LeBracha, who went on to the next level of life about 15 and a half years ago. And he talked about that a human being can have an experience where all of a sudden they feel they can do something in such a way they were never able to do it before. They felt an empowerment. And he said this experience is called a Giloy Nefesh, or the revelation of one's soul and one's body. So in secular, Western, psychological, even sociological, we're talking about a good self-esteem or psychological, you know, but it's really about getting more energy from above one's normal capacity to receive energy and be able to do more. That's actually testifying. When a person is growing from day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, and their intellectual capacities are expanding, and their emotional capacities are expanding, they're becoming more broader, become deeper thinker, he or she, that's actually testifying that their body is becoming more a vessel for revelations of their blessed soul. So that's just something I want to chime in on. And we have about 15 minutes to go. I'd like to go into the body of the text, Mordechai, and your blessed souls are listening in. So we started last week, and I'll just read it kind of quickly, and then we'll slow down the pace so we can pick up where we left off last week. So it says, Elijah, meaning Elijah the prophet, opened the discourse and said,
Master of the world, you are one, but not in the numerical sense. You're exalted above all the exalted ones, hidden from all the hidden ones. No one thought can grasp you at all. I think that's where we left off. So, in the Ben Ish Chai, Mordechai and other people listening in, advocated that we start to think about this at the very time where we're taking care of our bodily needs, namely we're having a meal. It could be breakfast, it could be lunch, it could be dinner, it could be a snack, it could be a drink of water while we're, you know, stuck in traffic. And he implored us to consider that, you know, at every point in time when you're taking of the three kingdoms below you, inanimate matter, the minerals of the earth that you find in your drink, or vegetable matter, or meat, animal matter, that they have to lift it up, not just because it entered the physical body, because they'd be given more power to praise the Most High. And this is although it seems very, very simple, it's a very complex process, which each person then must make a choice, Mordechai, if they want to engage in this complex process. With all its complexities, or just simply to recite these words. So I want to go into some of these levels that Elijah the prophet talked about, Eliyahu HaNavi, as it's expounded and elucidated by the Lubavitcher Rebbe in a teaching from 56 years ago. So let's go into it. So the Rebbe said that basically what I just mentioned, and actually I should mention a couple more verses or a couple more statements from the teaching of Elijah. You are he who has brought forth 10 garments, and we call them 10 spheroids, for which to direct hidden worlds which are not revealed and revealed worlds. And through them you consider yourself from man, the children of man. So what's going on here? So the Babaji really elaborates that all these levels that I read so briefly, which just seem to be, could it be expressions of love, expressions of desire to cling to the Most High, are actually talking about the mechanics of the creation. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe said that what's going on here in this teaching, which again, the Ben Ish Chai wants us to talk about when we're sitting down to eat, is what's being considered here is all the levels within the essence of a light which is infinite, meaning basically, with Mordechai, and I'd like you to chime in after I make this statement, that the essence of the light of infinite awareness is something which is attributable to only one entity, which is the creator of all the world. Because if we're talking about infinity, infinitude of light, and the essence of that light of infinity, that can only be referring to the source of all of this, which is, of course, the Creator. What's your take on all this?
I've been studying this subject for a lifetime. And all I can add to this is that we can be part, it's like the new, like let's say, you take an atom, and you take it apart, and you see with a microscope, and you see that this atom is full of electrons. Now, let's say infinity is an atom. It's just a bad example, and we are an extension. We are the electrons, and we are also part of that light, that infinite light. We contain that infinite light. We are that infinite light, but we are not all the infinite light. We are not infinity itself. So we may have an understanding, a limited understanding of this infinite light, but even if we would have a chance to grasp and know everything about infinity and be right beside the Creator and His infinite light, we would still find that beyond that infinity, actually there was a mathematician back in the early 20th century that was working on these theories and mathematical works that beyond infinity, there's more infinity. And there you can add and divide and multiply and see that infinity requires not only one universe. And then we step into the next stage of light, which is above this universe, which is above the light that we can experience here, which is above the light that we can experience spiritually. There are many, many, many stages, infinite amount of stages, because it never ends. That's the beauty about it, and the beauty about it that we could really never grasp. We could never put it into words, but we can experience it. That's what I can say.
And from that experience, though, the experience will be something which we can elucidate upon, but with the humility to recognize we're not totally elucidating it with the clarity of, say, the Creator, who is empowering us to elucidate it only on a human level. Now, with that being said, I want to go further. That I mentioned that Rabbi Trevi mentioned here in his teaching from 56 years ago that we mentioned that you are one, which is referring to the essence of a type of light which is infinite, basically the essence of an awareness, an essence of type of revelation which is endless. Now, if we were, and this extends down to what are known as the 10 spheres of Atzilus, basically 10 attributes, which one attribute is how the Most High manifests as the source of all wisdom, the Most High manifests as the source of all understanding, the Most High manifests as the source of all knowledge or sensitivity to that knowledge, the essence of that knowledge, the Most High manifests as the source of all kindness, the Most High manifests as the source of all might, the Most High manifests as the source of all beauty, which synthesizes kindness and might, or love and restriction of the love into a perfect synthesis to beam out to the creation. And then the Most High serves as the source of all victory and conquering. The Most High serves as the source of all splendor, of beautification. Just like if you go into your house and you have the four walls of your house and your ceiling, the truth is, to keep your house going, you don't have to paint your ceiling, you don't have to paint your walls, you don't have to put a carpet down on your floor, but all that's a beautification. So we see that the creation is full of examples of this, where the Most High just didn't create a creation just to provide a dwelling place for the inanimate kingdom, the animal kingdom, the inanimate kingdom, the vegetable kingdom, the animal kingdom, and the human kingdom, that there's beautification at each level. That's why you see you have precious stones and precious ore and precious vital resources inside the body and the belly of the earth. See beautiful aquatic life, beautiful floral, coral arrangements in the ocean. Upon the earth, you see the majestic animal life. And, of course, the human beings, you see majestic human beings, not just because of their physical, coarse beauty, but rather because of the beauty of how they can synthesize the revelation of the synthesis of their divine images inside their bodies. So, as well, going past the Most High is the attribute of splendor. He is the attribute of foundation. Now, there's two types of foundation. There's a foundation which is, say, underneath our houses, which we don't see it, but from which without that foundation, our houses would collapse. Ask any builder, without a sturdy foundation, a house would collapse. And then there's the foundation of heaven, which is the source by which all divine bounty flows into the creation in a way that is just enough for each and every molecule of the creation, so that molecule shouldn't be altered from any other way except to be that very molecule, that very, very inanimate matter, that very vegetable matter, that very animal matter, that very human matter. And then we have the Malchus, the Most High, is the source of all kingship, of the rulership of all the attributes that I just mentioned above. And when we go into that type of consciousness, Mordechai, and blessed souls listening, that we also can reconfigure this whole statement of how he is one, or you are one, meaning the Most High, that we can encapsulate it
in the statement that of Kesser, of a crown, meaning the Most High is the only one who is the true king with the crown that is able to bear all of these attributes that I just mentioned. And in the inner attribute of that crown, there's the fact that this crown can literally project out a copy or dumbing down of that essential, pristine essence of light, which is infinite. And from within there, there's also the source of all divine delight, which then can be transmitted to us. And if we stand in this world with a sense of proper humility, then we can truly delight in our service of the Most High. Comments, questions, or concerns, Mordechai, about what I just talked about?
The beautification has really grabbed my attention there. You talked about the beautification of fruits, vegetables, adamant matter, animal matter, vegetable matter. And it popped into my mind the beautification of understanding, the beautification of thought, the beautification of spiritual progress, a journey. These things can beautify, you know, like a depressed person is pretty much rebelling against this creation by saying that there's nothing nice here, there's nothing, there's no beauty, there's no nothing to live for, there's no beautiful positive energy here, there's no light here. A depressed mind only see the darkness of dark side of the creation, which is imbalance. It's not only a chemical imbalance in the brain, but also a spiritual imbalance, mental imbalance, etc. But when we're talking about beautification, the beautification of thought, when we accept the Creator as He is the infinite light, and this infinite light can reach down to our soul, into our divine essence, we can also find this as a climbing ladder out of any kind of deep sorrow, deep rebellion. We can invite this light, and this light is not only a ladder, but it's like a magnet. It pulls us out and magnetizes towards a source, towards an infinite source of light, towards an infinite source of energy. And with this energy, we can become joyful and peaceful creators of our own life, of our own lives. So I can't go any further right now. I could talk for hours, Don.
No problem. Well, the thing is that I like what you said, the beautification of understanding, because the beautification of understanding is basically the synthesis of our prior understanding with our present understanding, and that can generate a lot of ambivalence on the part of many blessed human beings, Mordechai, because a person coming to a new understanding today can actually have a little regret, saying like, why was I only at that level of understanding of yesterday, when I look at that understanding of yesterday, it really wasn't a true understanding. And therefore, they sometimes have trepidation. What if tomorrow's understanding, whether today's understanding, is not true understanding in relation? But that's missing the whole boat. The whole idea of the beautification of understanding, instead of that distorted perception, which could lead to sadness or depression, and depression can lead to verbal violence and emotional violence, and heaven forbid, physical violence, is that a person should realize, who am I, but yet just a vessel to be filled with the blessings of the Most High. And therefore, I humbly stand before Hashem, the Almighty Creator, God, as they say here in America, the West, to expand. Because after all, I realize, and this is being discussed about in the sciences, that it's an expanding universe. So if the universe is expanding, the universe doesn't get depressed because it expanded one more degree, one more level that it can be calibrated at some level to mathematics or physics than yesterday. No, it says, I'm with the program. So when we're with the program, we're willing to expand our understanding in a way that it gives us more joy.
Anyway, Mordechai, it gave me a lot of joy to do this show tonight with you. I'd like to thank you again. Mordechai Ben Mozi from Oregon, California. We'd like to sign off before we go off the air.
Thank you very much for this radio show, Don. It's going to be a great help for a lot of people for many, many years from now.
Amen, amen. So let's wish everyone a blessed night. Ahav Echad, one love. Goral Echad, one destiny. L'kulano for all of us. B'dachinam d'afishom in a peaceful, pleasant way. B'dachos Hashem Yisrael with the blessings of the Most High. Take care, everyone. And when we reunite, let's keep up with the fight to spread the love. That's the way to go. And that's the end of the show. Take care.